Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Turn on the television and it won't take long to see an ad for some new thing that you can buy. If it is not something new, there is an improvement to some existing product you can buy. Right now, 4K television is the rage, when just a few years ago it was HDTV. Don't like the internet speed you have? You can probably get faster. Smartphones seem to become obsolete before they no longer work, and if you use a program on a computer or an app on a device, it won't be long before there's an update. The cars of just a few years ago seem outdated, and fashion trends can change quickly. When it comes to food just a few years ago, the only milk you could commonly buy in a grocery store was cow's milk, and maybe if your grocery store had an extensive dairy section, goat's milk. Today, there are all types of milks available, with a majority coming from plants. Marketing has used that to the advantage of food companies. Today, you can buy plant butter, when years ago we knew it as margarine. There always seems to be sugar, but when it comes to artificial sweeteners, if you don't like one brand, you can try another brand, choosing between pink, yellow, blue, or green packets. With all of the changes that are thrown our way, we might see different product names, packaging, features, and advantages, but not much typically changes. Go back about 15 or 16 years and smartphones were introduced, and today most people use smartphones. At the core of the device is still a phone that works like most other cell phones, and just like any landline can make a phone call. Even in the face of technological change, there is still a commonality where there are elements that remain the same. Throughout history, technology has evolved with increased knowledge of people, but who the people are making this technology hasn't changed much. Today, we might drive nice cars connected to our smartphones that will send us reminders of when to exit the freeway we are driving on. Who we are as a people hasn't changed much. Solomon wrote about this consistency in life on earth in Ecclesiastes 1, starting with verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he has taken under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are come with those that shall come after. Solomon wrote, there is nothing new under the sun. Anything that is considered new has likely been seen before. Even when it comes to new technology, there has always been new technology in the time that new technology was developed. If we don't like a fashion trend, some seemingly new fashion trend will come along until a deeper re-examination shows it is only a rehashing of a prior fashion trend. When it comes to what is healthy, we seem to go full circle where at one time in the United States, eggs were bad for you, and now they are good for you. caffeine, carbohydrates, whole milk, you name it, have all had public opinion change over time. Even government agencies backtrack on medications, with some medications previously approved for over-the-counter use to help with colds and flus, only now to be pulled because they are ineffective against colds and flus. With nothing new under the sun, we are reminded that with mankind, since the beginning of creation, there seems to be a fixation on what is evil. Think about movie genres in the modern era. Thriller, slasher, and horror movies fill theaters, along with films about historical looks at our past or a sci-fi look at our future or current time. Compare that to the number of movies that show what is good and righteous. Those movies are hard to find. It did not take God long to see that given the choice between the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that mankind chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that even with those two choices, mankind became laser focused on what was evil, and it gave God a heartache to see mankind choose what is evil. Genesis 6, verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. We might think that we have moved past what is evil, and yet our society belies that. Evil has been the root cause of people oppressing other people. The book of Psalms records this for us, showing that the wicked persecute the poor and do not seek after God. These wicked people figure out how to exploit those who are less fortunate than they are because they see themselves as being able to deceive God, thinking that God will never see what their true intentions are. Evil was present shortly after mankind was created, and evil is alive and still evil today. Psalm 10, verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Because we have been called from this world to become the children of God, we see the evil that is in the world and the need for us to be not evil. We know this world lives in wickedness, while we are called to live in righteousness because of the calling we have been given through Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in the Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. We know that God is against those who do evil and focuses on what the righteous do. We need to do what the righteous do, not what the evil do. With that, we will be of one mind, having compassion for each other with genuine brotherly love, never repaying evil when evil is paid to us. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. When this world embraces evil, we are to abstain from any appearance of evil and to hold fast to that which is good. Now, this world will also call good evil and evil good, and is very confused about what is good and evil. We are called to abstain from even the appearance of evil and never repay with evil when we are paid with evil. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. The evil that permeates our world comes through the choice mankind made in the very beginning. When given a choice between eating of the tree of life or eating of the forbidden tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, mankind chose the knowledge of good and evil, even though a curse accompanied that tree. There is nothing new to having the choice between good and evil and seeing evil chosen. Genesis 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. With the knowledge of good and evil, and man's heart focused on what was evil, God knew that unless there was an intervention, evil would result again because the imagination of mankind could not be restrained. And with that imagination came the imagination of good and the imagination of evil. After the flood, with a promise to never destroy mankind again, God divided mankind by languages to confound our ability to work together, to put the brakes on our imagination. Genesis 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. The division of mankind by language worked for a long time. Prophecy shows at the end time, knowledge will be greatly increased. Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Even in the modern era, if a person doesn't understand a different language, there are many tools to help understand that language. Websites are available to translate from one language to the next, and while the AI translation might not be the best, it will mostly convey the meaning. AI, artificial intelligence, brings about a whole other dimension in learning because a digital tool can compile a lot of information from across many different sources to help a person better understand whatever topic is up for study. The world has the knowledge of good and evil, and we must develop a different type of knowledge. Within the Church of God, we have frequently focused on a passage from the 11th chapter of Isaiah to convey a glimpse of the future kingdom of God. Let's read Isaiah 11, starting with verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That glimpse into the kingdom of God that we just read is made possible in part by the earth being full of the knowledge of God. This world has the knowledge of good and evil, and we are bringing to this world the knowledge of God, that tree of life that is righteousness that transcends all concepts of good that we understand today. Knowledge of God is critical for salvation. There is no amount of medical or financial knowledge that can bring us to salvation, but knowledge of God can get us on the right path. Lack of the knowledge of God destroys people. And lack of the knowledge of God is caused not only by people who have never known God, but lack of the knowledge of God is also caused when people reject God. Hosea 4, verse 4. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shall thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Knowledge of God is critical for us, as knowledge is part of the continuum of our spiritual growth and development. Godly love is the pinnacle of spiritual growth and development, and knowledge of God has to be an early part of that spiritual growth and development. Let's read 2 Peter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Along with evil come unrighteous acts, things that on the surface might look good, but really are not, especially when it is tied to religion and government. In Texas, where I live, it is possible to have a home's property tax rate cut, but the resulting lower property tax rate could be legally defined as a property tax increase. It's interesting to see when elected officials face this type of situation and proclaim they have provided a property tax cut, because what they are saying is not legally correct. It's also common practice to use eminent domain to force a person to sell their property to a governmental entity for a public project. While the law requires fair market value, most government projects look for blighted neighborhoods where property values are lower than average. The displaced person or business is given that fair market lower than average payout for their property in that blighted neighborhood, and find themselves in many cases unable to afford a replacement property, especially when incomes are tied to a pension or Social Security. Taking from those who do not have the ability to defend themselves has been around since Cain took the life of Abel. And with society today, a nice shiny spin of progress is often veneered on these types of public projects. Isaiah 10, verse 1. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that right grievousness which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. And what will you do in the day of visitation, and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? Without me they shall bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain, for For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. As Christians, when we fast, it needs to be to loosen the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice, and they take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and exact all your laborers. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ash under him? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. It is through Jesus Christ we have a pathway to undo the heavy burden. It doesn't mean a life of faith is without burdens, but the burdens we will have are light in comparison to the evil burdens hoisted on people by governments and by those who misuse religious authority. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As Christians, we do have a responsibility to bear our own individual burdens. We have no right to expect others of the faith to share in our burdens. However, we also have a responsibility to be aware of the burdens of others and share in that burden. Where we can help others through their burdens, we need to do that fully, understanding we can't demand others help us. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Jesus slammed the scribes and Pharisees for the religious burdens they foisted on others, demanding perfect righteousness from others while giving themselves a free pass. Misusing religious authority is an act of unrighteousness. Matthew 23, verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. As we consider, there is nothing new under the sun, that what is evil and unrighteous remains evil and unrighteous, we must also consider that God and Jesus Christ do not change. When God told Moses his name, he said, "I am that I am." God did not say that today he is, but before he was something else. God remains constant. God does not change. Exodus 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." The book of Malachi contains a stern warning to the priesthood where God lambasted them for stealing from him. When tithes were presented to the priests, they kept some of that tithe for their personal use. That was an Old Testament criticism of the priests. Today, are there priests who live lavish lifestyles of excess? Of course there are, and they will claim the blessing of God when instead the donations of people to their ministry are supporting their personal life. God does not change, and unrighteousness does not change. Thankfully, across the many denominations of Christianity, there are many priests who live a lifestyle that matches or is less than their congregants. Malachi 3, verse 6. "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your father you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, Wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, What have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, It is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, that they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered." God remains constant, as does Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. With that understanding of consistency, we should never be caught off guard by strange and diverse doctrines. Those should remain as constant as God and Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about the diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them, which have been occupied therein. Just like God and Jesus Christ do not change, the word of God stands forever. Isaiah 40, verse 6. The voice said, "Cry." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. James shows that with God there is no variation or shadow of turning. God always remains constant with the truth so that we can be a kind of the first fruit of his creation. James 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of firstfruits of his creatures. We may live on earth, but our citizenship is in heaven, and with that heavenly citizenship comes an expectation of living a righteous life. We cannot live a life as others may on earth. Philippians 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. With citizenship in heaven, we know day by day our mortal self will die, but our spiritual self must be renewed day by day as we look to things which are not seen with physical eyes. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There is nothing new under the sun. The knowledge of good and evil has clouded man's understanding about the righteousness of God, and we are to be transformed through the renewing of our mind, so that our understanding of the righteousness of God is clear in our mind. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All that we do must be done through faith with sincerity. We cannot do anything which belies the faith entrusted to us, and we cannot act with unrighteousness towards others. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. In all that we do, living in a world where there is nothing new under the sun, we are to avoid what is evil and cling to what is good, never repaying evil for evil, but working to overcome evil with good. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There is nothing new under the sun. The knowledge of good and evil is still what controls mankind to this day. We are called to be part of the kingdom of God, and with that calling comes responsibility to avoid what is evil and unrighteous. We may live in a world where those in power exploit those who have no power, but we can never use the calling we have been given to exploit others. We can never be the recipient of evil and then turn around and use evil on others. Whenever evil is directed at us, as it will be living in a world where there is nothing new under the sun, we must overcome evil with good. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.